welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 287 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. You right, Sean?
I am. Do you think that the rain's got in your brain or something when you've been cycling? Because you're not quite there with it. It's like, oh, I'll be all bothered.
Possibly. I didn't ride too much this morning. I got the train most of the way. Yeah, it's grim out there today, innit?
And was it easy putting your bike on the train?
It is, actually. Yeah, Merseyrail. It's all right. I don't like doing it too often, if I can avoid it, but...
So do you put it in the guards van, or do you put it
in... Well, no, you just take it in. There are carriages with the little bike symbol. So, you know, there's like a little disabled areas on some of the Merseyrail trains. Mm. They have that, but I just stand by the door on the other side when I get in, because it was only a few stops.
And do you have problems getting out sometime? Excuse me.
Well, I got the train at like 20 past nine, so the rush was over, really. I wouldn't like doing it at, you know, half eight or whatever.
You wouldn't be that popular.
I would not be Mr. Popular. but hey-ho. how you doing? You okay? You enjoying the weather?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. And the thing I like about this weather is it's a log fire and hunker down. And
it sure is, isn't it, man? It's getting cosy. It's getting cosy time. We're not talking about anything festive today. Christmas is coming, but we're going to talk about volunteering because it's International Volunteer Day or something like that by the UN.
Yeah.
We'll come on to that recently because I'm thinking quite a bit about volunteering at the moment. I'm getting a bit more community minded and all that.
You are.
As may have become apparent recently.
Yeah.
Chatting to me.
I'm going to be the leader of.
I need an army of volunteers actually. So interesting in terms of the recruitment, but we'll come on to that shortly. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look for the show notes links. All previous episodes are online there as well. You can use the little search box to. Type in anything really, and you'll anything kind of self-development wise, and there's a good chance we've talked about it in the last few years. We've got a book.
We have.
Called Live in the Present, and if you sign up for our mailing list, you'll get a 10% discount for the book, which will make a great little Christmas present, I do believe.
I think it'll make an amazing Christmas present. I think I should buy six.
Oh gosh! And you will get free meditation files as well when you sign up, and a few other goodies too. So all good. What have you been up to? I'll tell you what we have been up to.
Well, it's what we've been up to, yeah.
Friday night, we saw the launch of our good friend, Dav Lewis, his little music video, Heaven's Here.
And we need to put a link up for that.
We will. It's on YouTube now, so I'll put the link in, the first link on our show notes.
Yeah.
But it was a lovely little night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I was going to sing a song, but my throat hasn't been there, so I didn't.
Sean was going to sing, so I read out the lyrics.
Yeah.
With a few little quips thrown in there.
I thought you were very... It was professionally done, I thought.
Well, how long have
you been? You're an actor.
We should have recorded a live podcast on the night, shouldn't we? But I want to shout out to Jodie as well, who directed the video and organised a little night for Dav as well.
Yeah.
But Dav's a quality guy, and we love Dav,
good.
Don't we?
Yeah, it's good.
Good egg. Good guy. You see Dav, he's a builder, he's a bricky, or
he's a stonemason.
Stonemason, and he looks like a stonemason. He's quite a butch kind of Welsh fella.
Got a lot of muscle in him, hasn't he? Yeah.
But you speak to him, and he's like the most
gentle
kind, warm fella in the universe, isn't
he? Yeah.
Big fan of Dav.
Jolly green giant.
So yeah, we enjoyed that night.
Yeah, it was good. That was good.
So well done all, and we'll put the video link in the show notes too. Do have a look and drop Dav a line if you like it. What do I want to talk about? Oh yeah. Oh no, you've got something about Marks and Spencer's.
Well, because it fits in pretty much with today, really. We're looking at the whole idea of volunteering. And we think of volunteering maybe as time, but it's other things as well. So Ray, who runs a Hope course and a survivors course for people that have survived cancer in the local cancer trust, and Johnny Raven, who's the manager at the local Marks and Spencers in Bisden, has just donated a whole load of like Christmas stuff, Christmas pies and nibbles and things for them to have their Christmas get-together stuff, you know, which is really great. And Upton Tennis Club have provided the premises all free of charge.
Wow.
You know, and there are lots of things that we can do, could do, either individually or as bigger organisations. And when you see people like Marks and Spencers or like the Tennis Club kind of paying it back, that's a good,
yeah,
good thing to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great story, that. So yeah, good thanks, Marks and Spencers, and all that.
Yeah,
doing some good stuff there. Eh?
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people say that, you know, like, it's just a big organisation, and, you know, they don't do anything. But people like Pret, all the food that's left out at the end of the day goes to the homeless.
Right.
Well, that kind of stuff, you know.
These little stories hidden away that,
yeah, that, yeah, you don't kind of see. Mm. But the idea of volunteering, which we're going to look at.
Let's crack on with it.
If you get beyond the idea of, I'm going to volunteer my time, to just when you're doing your shopping, to get a couple of extra items and put them in the food bank bin.
Yeah, I know. In there,
it's like volunteering.
We do our shopping online, so it gets delivered. But when I do go to the Tesco in Heswell, I do notice that there's a jam-packed massive basket full of stuff for the food bank, which is, I don't know, a sign of the times, really, I guess. So it's a shame that is needed, I guess, but also kind of heartwarming and encouraging that
people are doing it,
people are doing it and helping, especially this time of year, getting to Christmas, getting colder, people
on I mean, the weather today is appalling, and whenever it's like this, the first thought in my mind is, God, Ed's going to be on his bike. That's the first one. And the second one is, he hasn't got a problem because other people got to sleep in this. You know what I mean?
And Well, I was in Liverpool yesterday for a meeting in the city. And it wasn't raining at the time. But, yeah, no, I did, you know, step off the train and you start to spot homeless feet, people left, right and centre in the town. So God knows what they're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure where do you go to get out of this? Because it's horrible weather, isn't it? It's wet and cold, isn't it?
It's bad, but it is actually December the 5th when we're recording this, day before release. It's International Volunteer Day, which is a bit of a gig and an event put on by the UN General Assembly, no less.
Again, you can see you being the leader of the UN.
Yeah, you reckon?
Today we're all, tomorrow the UN.
Well, you know, I have been kind of dabbling with local politics and getting to know local councillors and people in the council, and I've actually met with my MP as well recently to talk about stuff, and I do have a real kind of amazement for what those guys do, not just our MP and MPs, especially it's a bit of a dicey time at the moment in Parliament, but local councillors as well. I mean, as a councillor, I think you get £8,500 as like an annual payment to kind of, which is good pocket money, I guess, but they have jobs as well, because £8,000 ain't going to get you far in this day and age, unless you retired, perhaps. But they have jobs as well, a lot of them, and they have to give up a lot of evenings and weekends to get involved in tiny little community events and little issues that, you know, trouble between neighbours or groups of residents, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I have a real kind of admiration for the work that local councillors do. And MPs as well, because MPs get what, 65, 70 grand a year, which is a good salary. But I follow my MP on Twitter and Instagram, and she's all over the show all the time, and she barely gets any time.
But that idea that you live outside London, but to attend Parliament, you've got to stay somewhere when you're there, and the costs of actually living in London, and, you know, and you need secretarial support, there's all kinds of stuff that comes with it. And people think, hey, they're on bucket loads of money. And, okay, you may get some Conservatives that have some directorships on the side, but the majority of politicians are not well off at all.
Or they haven't got time to spend it, so they're financially well off, but in terms of time, time poor. So I think the job of an MP or a councillor is actually a lot based around a kind of a mindset of volunteering and that kind of community spirit.
Yeah, I mean, certainly in local council, you may get the odd person who's got the odd power craze.
Yeah.
But most of it is, there's no glory in it. It's like it's hard graft, trying to get stuff done. Your experience with trying to get the road sorted.
Yeah, trying to get people walking to school and all that stuff, which I'm kind of early stages, but making some good progress, actually. But meeting some good people as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, this International Volunteer Day, IVD, is held each year, 5th of December. It is viewed as a unique chance for volunteers and organisations to celebrate their efforts, to share their values and promote their work among their communities. NGOs, United Nations agencies, government authorities, and the private sector. It's just a bit of a chance to kind of highlight a lot of the work that goes on behind the scenes in communities, I guess.
I think there is loads of stuff going on that we're not aware of. You know, the amount of people that are collecting. A lot of the factories that I go into, like the American factories, they have charities that they're supporting. Some of them are education charities. Sometimes they are like the cancer charities in Central Clare House, which is like a child cancer hospice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on that we're completely unaware of.
Do you think volunteering has a bit of a bad reputation in terms of, do you think we feel that you should be paid for everything you do now, and that volunteering is kind of a cop-out by government maybe, or organisations that don't want to pay someone even minimum wage and just expect people to do something for nothing?
I look at it from lots of different angles. The first angle that I look at it from is that at some point we became aware of us and them. Now, the government should be us. The council should be us. But we don't see it like that. We see them as them. So that it's what are they doing to us? What are they doing now? As opposed to seeing that we are intimately involved in this. And it's not, you know, their money and what they do with their money. It's our money.
Yep.
And if we live in a proper democracy, then there's never us and them, it's only us.
Mm.
And it's at that point where we start to disentangle ourselves from responsibility, because it's their responsibility to look after the old, it's their responsibility to look after the disabled or the insane, as opposed to, no, it's actually our responsibility.
Yep.
And the idea, if everybody contributed a couple of hours a week to doing something for other people, would not take the pressure off the financial burdens on the system. Yeah, but the system isn't them, it's us. We are the system.
Totally. Yeah, I've had a massive, epiphany in recent months about that very thought, really. Because I've realised that you can, if you get stuck in and you contact the right people and you shake the right hands and you're polite to the right group of guys and girls, that you can actually make a difference and you can start to push the needle and make little changes here and there. It's hard work and it's exhausting. And it'll take up your every waking hour.
Yeah.
But if you're passionate about something and you can see that something needs to be done, then you can't move the needle, man.
There's something that I feel, which isn't always popular to feel, but I'll say it out loud, is I think that people that claim benefits, and don't have problems with people claiming benefits when they need them, but it feels like there should be some give back. So that in the States, they do a thing in lots of the States where they call workfare, where you'll get paid to be supported, but they expect you to contribute something to the system. That could be anything from litter picking to looking after the elderly, you know, to contributing in some way as a compensation for the money that we, not them, that we are paying you, because you're one of us.
Yes.
It's that thing, isn't it? So that if we are a we, then I wouldn't take money from them. I'd see it as I'm taking money from us. Therefore, I need to contribute to that.
Yeah.
Yeah? So from my point of view, and like I say, people think I'm wicked when I say this sometimes, I think that if you claim benefits, then you should be required to put something back into the system to compensate for what you're taking out.
Yeah, you've got to be delicate how you do it. But I would go along with that. And, you know, a lot of people would say,
bring back hanging.
Yeah, people will say lots of things like that. But kind of military subscription, like the age of 18, enforced stuff at like the age of 18 to get stuck in.
Yeah.
I say we're not at war at the moment, or we're not, but we are in quite politically uncertain times. Globally, aren't we? So hopefully we won't need like massive armies to be built at scale, which, you know, in like World War One and Two, that was a kind of volunteering thing that, well, you didn't, a lot of men of a certain age didn't have a choice.
Yeah,
but it was
18 to 20, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was seen and it was promoted as, you know, you're doing your country and your
national
world
service.
A service.
Yep.
So get stuck in, volunteer, and go put your name down and head off. And some countries still do that, don't they? National service.
Yeah, lots of countries.
At the age of 18. It's not just about picking up a gun and going and aiming at someone. It's about showing that you're, I don't know, at that kind of age, you can have an impact on the world and you can do some good and you can learn the
but
value
it's all those things,
work and all that kind of stuff.
That are not popular to say. Like, it teaches people discipline.
Yeah.
And teaches them to look after themselves.
Make your bed every morning, yeah, shine right. your shoes.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, yeah. As opposed to, now just let my mum do it.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's right. We've got two little boys, you know, and we're trying to teach them to get stuck in and do little jobs and little chores around the house now that Will's of a certain age. And it's hard work. And there is that kind of pushback from him that that's not my job, you know, I'm the kid. I'm not supposed to be doing all this stuff. I just get up and play with me Lego.
But maybe that's where, in modern society, because when I was a kid, everyone had their jobs. I had my sisters and myself, then my younger brother, but everybody had their jobs to do. You were allocated jobs. And it wasn't you can do them or not. It was like, you do your job.
Yeah.
And maybe the breakdown that happens where we start to get into us and them more and more is when we expect someone else to do it for us. And maybe that begins in the home with the child, expecting the parent to keep wiping their backside at whatever level. And then they just transfer that onto the government or, you know, to some other agency that's supposed to carry on doing that.
Yeah, I went to a meeting fairly a few weeks ago, a rural council thing, and it was a Love Where You Live meeting, kind of trying to organise community groups to run regular litter picks on Wirral. And they've set up these kind of, I think it's about 40 hubs around Wirral.
That's amazing, that's it, 40 hubs.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm going to link to the website.
Yeah.
And basically, it's just a little place you can go. You call up the council beforehand to say, look, this weekend there's going to be 10 of us doing a litter pick in our area. Where's our nearest hub? Mm-hmm. And they say, here it is. Here's the code to get in, or someone will be there. And you get access to bags for the litter. You get the little pickup thingies, you know, the grabbers.
Yeah.
You get high-vis jackets so that with the kind of Love Where You Live logo on the back, so people in the community know that you're getting stuck in and helping. And a few other kind of, there's a few other gardening things and bits and bobs that are going to build up.
But see, I hear people saying things like, what do I need to pick the litter up for?
Yeah.
You know, they're supposed to do
well,
that.
I was at the meeting and there was one table there that had clearly gone, the kind of Facebook crew that are always whinging at the council, and they were there bashing the people that had put this on at the council, saying, isn't this your job to be doing this? Why are you trying to get volunteers to do all this stuff? And they kind of got booed down and asked to leave in the end because they were just causing so much of an issue. And that the people were there on the whole realising that the community needs to step in and do something here, that you can't expect the council to pick up every little cigarette butt or every little crisp packet that's blown into a bush. Most people there with a realisation that it can bring communities together. But it was fascinating to kind of witness it, and got me thinking really about the role of community.
It's weird, if you go to Switzerland, the streets are so clean. It's like someone's been down the street with a Hoover. And you can tell the difference if you go around Lake Lugano. If you go to the town of Lugano, which is in Switzerland, it's absolutely pristine. You go across the border into Italy and it's like, and you can see the change. Now, I don't know whether that's obsessive compulsive disorder in polishing the pavement, but that whole idea of, are we responsible for our environment? Do we love our environment? Do we nurture our environment? Or do we just treat it like a dustbin?
Yeah.
You know, so I was telling you about the guy that pulled into the car park and opened his car door, emptied his ashtray on the floor, put the ashtray back in, and drove off.
Including cigarette butts or just
ash? No cigarette butts, everything. And it was like, that pollution's okay there on the floor. I don't want the pollution in my car. And that's that separation, isn't it? It's like, if I put it out there, there's an assumption inside me somewhere that someone else is going to deal with it.
Yeah.
I haven't got to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's only when we take responsibility and not keep giving it to them that our lives will change as a society, as a community.
Yeah, for sure. And there were people at this thing where people have asked for more bins, you know, in popular places like the beach at West Kirby, where there's going to be a lot of people in the summer, where bins get overflown. And they were basically saying, look, we've put more bins in, but the answer isn't necessarily more bins. It's people taking rubbish home with them Or how about this for a crazy idea? No rubbish in the first place. How about we take things that can be reused? Because that's the ultimate answer to kind of the plastic problem. Not to have this system where rubbish can be piled in infinitely. It's to not have the rubbish in the first place.
Yeah, that's like the coffee containers when you go to the coffee shop. If you take your own container, you just saved, you know, if you do it every day, you just save 5-7 paper and plastic lids, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. So we've got a bit of work to do there. But I was kind of charged and enthused by the amount of people there that were willing to step in. And there are actual specific groups on the world, mainly actually located near beaches, I found, with names that I've forgotten, that meet every week and clear out the rubbish.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things when you think about the beaches, because there's a big drive that around us, there are some beaches that you can't take dogs on now. They're dog free.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's because of people leaving the dog poo on the beach on the basis that someone else is going to deal with it. It's the them issues. It's not my problem, it's their problem. Or you can go walk down the Wirral Way and people have put their poo in bags, but then they've hung it on a tree and walked
off.
Yeah,
I've heard about that.
You know, that's like
a bit weird.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I don't want to step in dog poo, but I don't really mind dog poo because it's biodegradable. It's gonna disappear. I'd rather have the poo in the bush rather than on a bag.
A plastic bag. Yeah.
In a bin, because the plastic bag is going to be around for hundreds of thousands of years, isn't it?
When I lived in Devon, there was a big green that everyone would go and play on. It was a massive, massive green. Went down to the beach, and it was known as Dog's Poo Green because of all the dog poo that was there. But if you were playing frisbee or something, you were dodging the dog poos as you were going.
Let's talk a bit. I found a blog post about the kind of surprising benefits of volunteering. So we'll talk about the benefits now of what you can get out of volunteering. Because I chip in at a local charity, the Wirral Sight of the Blind. It's kind of a formal role as a director, which I found really rewarding, and it's taught me a lot, actually, especially in the last few weeks, which I might come on to. But volunteering is actually, if you talk about it selfishly, can actually do a lot for yourself, can't it?
It does a lot for your brain and your endorphins and for your emotional well-being.
Yeah, so there's four specific points here that the blog post mentions, which we'll go through briefly. But one is that it connects you to others. So I'm thinking about people maybe who have maybe recently retired or have got a bit of time on their hands and are sitting at home twiddling their thumbs. And we know that loneliness and kind of isolation is a real health, in terms of your own health, is a really horrendous thing.
And there's two sides to that, because the person who sat at home alone could volunteer and go and do something and be with others. But also when people are at home and maybe they're immobile for some reason, other people could volunteer to go and look after them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to some kind of an official charity. It might be there's a lady in my little section of houses, an older lady, who she's becoming less and less mobile. So I try and give her a knock just once a week, just to have a little chat with her and see how she's doing and all that. Or if I see her coming in and out, putting stuff in the bin, I'll go and have a little word with her, just to say hello. She's got family that come and visits too and all that, but I see that as a little community activity, you know, keep everyone happy. But connecting you to others and for your own benefit, getting you out there and speaking to other people is a rather healthy thing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And it also gets you off your butt to get you out there in the world and the fresh air.
And the second one is volunteering is good for your mind and your body.
Yeah, that's the endorphin effect. We know that when you go through an act of kindness to another person, it has an amazingly positive effect on your system. Forget their system.
Yeah.
It changes you. Mm-hmm. And that's directly at a chemical level.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, if you're doing litter picking or something, an outdoor activity as well, it's kind of that physical side of things of being mobile and moving around and getting your blood flowing properly.
Yeah.
For sure, eh?
Yeah.
And the third one, you can advance your career. So this is actually a good one for me. Well, not advancing my career as such, but I'm a director at the Wirral Sight of the Blind. Mm-hmm. Chairman, actually, don't you know? Mm-hmm. And it's taught me a lot, because I'm a freelance designer. I basically work on my own. Mm-hmm. I don't really work as part of a bigger organisation. So it's taught me a lot about the responsibilities and the kind of ins and outs and the nitty-gritty of how a big-ish organisation works and the HR responsibilities. I've recently had to go through the process of making someone redundant, and it was on me to kind of let them know and go through the process of working, which wasn't fun, but it taught me a lot mm-hmm. about how to handle that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it quite rewarding, actually. Bad for the person that we had to let go. It was financial reasons. But yeah, it taught me a lot. And I know from other fellow directors, we all learn a lot in terms of the processes and the little questions and things that need sorting every month.
There's something around that which I need to say out loud, which is about the NHS. And we see the NHS as struggling from a funding point of view, and yes, it needs more money. But one of the biggest hits that's happened for the NHS is the amount of people that volunteered time for free. As in, people would come in early, they'd go home late, they'd work their breaks, they'd come in on their days off, they'd do all kinds of things because they were committed at a vocational level to making sure these things happened.
Yep.
And one of the things I observe in the NHS in a variety of trusts is that staff members are becoming disengaged because they feel so badly treated by both the government and management that they become minimalists. And the NHS has probably lost millions and millions of hours that it got volunteered for free.
Right.
Because people come in on time, they take their breaks and they go home on time because they've had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a real sadness because those people that were happy to give their time are no longer happy to do so. And that's a sadness.
Yeah, a huge opportunity, isn't there, to kind of bring that... I mean, the work you do in the NHS, I'm sure you're trying to get that back in some
yeah,
way.
Yeah, trying to get people to feel connected. And
there must be
weird.
Some teams and parts
of
the NHS. Yeah,
yeah. You go into a good unit and it's wow, you can feel, it's palpable when you go in there. And people are going into work because they love it, they love their manager, and they are staying late and they are doing whatever they can, they're doing work at home.
Mm.
Yeah, as opposed to people going to the point where, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
It's not my job description, I'm not doing it, someone else can do it.
For the 18 months, I actually had a proper job before I went it alone. For the first year, I was really involved and I loved it, and a really good team. And then the time came after a year for me to kind of, well, maybe selfishly or not, expect a bit more in return for the extra hours I was doing financially. And it didn't come, and it was clear that it wasn't going to come. So yeah, I did just that. I kind of stepped back and I started, instead of staying late, working maybe a little bit extra through my lunch, getting more stuck in and kind of offering ideas to kind of how the company could be better. Mm. I stepped back and I just said, right, sod you then. I'm just going to do the bare minimum. I came in at my time. I took my lunch I was allowed. I left at 5. I started to get a bit more arsey about staying later and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
So maybe a bit selfish on my point, but... Yeah,
but it's a magic principle of mindful management, is that if you can engage your staff so they feel good, they'll do the most phenomenal things for you. And management generally is too asleep to realise that. You know, they think that managing by fear is a positive management tool. And it doesn't. It just disengages people.
Yeah, don't worry like that. Yeah. All right. Got anything else you want to mention? Oh, we've got a fourth one.
You're our last one, I think.
Oh, yeah, okay. Volunteering brings fun and fulfillment to your life, which is kind of linked to the first, I guess. But
yeah.
I guess it's about being able to look back at the end of the day and the end of your life, even.
Yeah.
And saying, I'm glad I did that, you know, I did my bit.
It's the meaning of life.
Yeah.
What's the point of being alive?
I think I did write that higher up, actually. I mean, I don't think you have to be spiritual or religious to kind of understand that we've been put here, or we are here anyway, to get stuff done, man, to advance our species and
it would be nice to know that you left the place better off than you found it.
Yeah.
Rather than you screwed it rotten.
You're allowed to make a few mistakes along the way.
Yeah, yeah. But if you learn and you grow, you help the people that you can, you know. And so then, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's my boring phrase that keeps being thrown back at me now. It just happened last Friday.
It's working, like, yeah.
But if we all look after each other, we will all be all right. And it's as simple as that. We could solve humanity's problems in an instant by just making that decision.
Yeah.
You know? We'd all be safe, we'd all be fed, we'd all be clothed, we'd all be fine. Mm. You know? But it's a big ask for a lot of people.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Got resource then?
My resource is get local. What's going on in your community that you could contribute to? Even if it's just an hour a week, you know, if 100 people contributed an hour a week, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
You know, to whatever it is. And if you go to your local library, usually they've got boards of stuff that's going on and those kinds of places. Or there are some apps. There's one called Volunteer Match that you can go and have a look at. And they are, a lot of them are based around the States, but if you hunt around, there are things that you can get involved in. So like for us here, they're the two girls that run the meals for the homeless, and people can volunteer to cook meals and all that kind of stuff. And if everybody does a bit, then a lot of stuff gets done.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be like you've got to go to the top of Kilimanjaro. Just like an hour a week can make a hell of a difference.
Yeah. There will be plenty, I'm sure people are aware, in their local area that needs help with. So I'll mention the Love Where You Live World stuff.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get stuck in on some litter pick stuff, because it's not just about keeping the world clean and tidy, but it's also that opportunity to meet other people.
Yeah.
And kind of get to know them and see what else is going on. Because once you start digging away at these little issues, you start to realise there's a lot of work to do. And that we're here to get that work done. So just stop faffing around and get to it.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I like it.
All right. Cool. All right, Jake. Livingthepresent.co.uk. All the show notes and links from this episode. Do check out Dav's video as well that we mentioned.
Yeah.
Heaven's Here, and listen to those lyrics because they're quite powerful. Hey?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We
should have recorded you reading the other one. So you should be a star now.
Now I already am. But just you wait. Cool. Sean, have a good week.
And you.
See ya.